is always on the cutting edge, and you've done it again.
We brought you a new choice in diamonds. We've got altar-created diamonds exclusively at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and what that does for you is give you the opportunity to save 25 to 30% and get a bigger and brighter diamond.
And how is that possible?
Altar-created diamonds are grown above ground, making them environmentally friendly and 100% conflict-free.
Howie, can you tell the difference?
What difference? They're both diamonds. See for yourself only at Robert Irwin Jewelers with free financing.
Data message rate supply national contest. It's time for another new money in the new year appointment. I'm money. Every hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. weekdays on 92.9 FM ESPN and right now.
All right, chance to win $1,000 right now. It is the final day this week to win $1,000 every hour on the station, and we'll do it again all next week. But right now, text the word NAIL, N-A-I-L. Text NAIL to 72881 for your chance to win a grand. Again, your 11 o'clock keyword is NAIL. Text NAIL, N-A-I-L, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. I'll give you another keyword coming up in the noon hour, but right now you got plenty of time. Text NAIL, N-A-I-L, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're...
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Man, this what you've been waiting for. I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, cause now I'm getting hot enough to f***ing wanna stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail the mission? Your girl is tired of missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke, whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my pay was turned. Live life, might as well, only way to learn is try and fail clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, who that, that got that flame? Who that, who that, that got that flame? So don't worry about my name, I got
to say. All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is Friday. We have made it to the weekend, baby. January 11th, and we come in here fresh off a Tigers win. For a moment, there in the first half, maybe it's a few moments, actually, didn't look like you'd be coming in here today off a Tigers win, but they do indeed get the win. And, John, you were in there. I was not. Me and young CJ had young CJ back in the bed by that point. We were in the forum last night, but you were in there with Penny Hardaway in the media room after the game, covering it for The Athletic, and it looked like a perturbed Penny Hardaway?
Yeah, oh, yeah, he was exasperated.
Okay. Oh,
I would use the word exasperated.
That's stronger than perturbed. Yes. Sounded like he had to hold back.
He did. He did. He had to hold back.
Brain himself. Huh?
Lots to get to today. It was a win last night. It didn't feel like a win in the postgame, though. Like, it was one of those wins that felt more like a loss. I don't know really how to explain it more than that or better than that. But it was a win. The Tigers win 78-72. And, you know, listen, at that point, when it's, you know, they're up by 15 in the first half, you're just happy to escape, frankly. Mm-hmm. The line was 15, so, you know, it was obviously way closer and way more dramatic than it was supposed to be. But you did get the win. And honestly, what that means is you have, for the majority of for the entire season at this point, you have avoided taking that, quote-unquote, bad loss.
Correct.
That's what you achieved last night.
Since he can't say that, UConn can't say that. Many teams, by the time they get to this point in the season, can't say that. Memphis can't. That they don't have one of those big disappointments. Now, again, last night, they're up 15 ECU in the first half. You're going, holy cow. It sure looked like it for a while that they were about to suffer. But, again, you do get points for the win, John Martin. That is what matters the most.
That's right.
They didn't suffer that fate.
Memphis is now 2-1 in the conference with a very good chance to move to 3-1 this weekend. So we will get into Penny Hardaway's comments. He held back, but then again, he didn't. And that'll make sense here momentarily. Here's what we've got going on the show today. At 11:25, we're going to be joined by Brevin Knight. Brevin Knight, of course, is a TV analyst for the Memphis Grizzlies. We will talk to him about the Grizzlies and where they stand at this point in the season. We'll talk to him about Marc Gasol, about Chandler Parsons, about the leaks, drip, drip. All the leaks going around the Memphis Grizzlies right now. So we will talk to Brevin Knight about that at 11:25. 12:25, Gary Parrish is going to join us. We will talk to him about the University of Memphis basketball team and what they did last night. And get his thoughts on Penny's comments at 12:25. Then at 1:25, Damian Ball was in the house last night.
You pointed that out to me.
Yeah, he was. He is obviously a priority, a target for the University of Memphis in the 2019 recruiting class.
He is sitting right there.
They want to add a guard, perhaps, to this class.
It feels like either him or Edwards. Do you get the same feel?
Barring some reclassification. Like R.J. Hampton or Jalen Green or something like that.
Correct.
But, yeah, you know, barring some, and that's always on the table. Like, you always have to account for that. But, yes, I think
it feels they need a scoring guard, and it feels like they need one.
Yeah.
It sounds like they got room, I put it that way, for one.
And it ain't going to be Anthony Edwards. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Anthony.
Didn't something get put on Instagram after all of this that, you know, and then get quickly taken off? Evan Daniels had to write that wasn't a commitment, but that said, hey, I'm doing Florida State.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's what we all thought.
So Anthony Edwards in Memphis, that's a long shot. I mean, you never rule anything out. It's Penny. He's done some incredible things in his year on the job. You know, that'd be a long shot. Anyway, Norton Hurd IV is going to be in studio. He, of course, is the coach and the program director of Team Thad. That's where Damian Ball plays during the summer. So we will talk to him about Damian Ball's recruitment, get the update on that.
Kansas was looking, you know, that they were right to push his recruitment back because it's heating up.
Right, yep. So it is heating
up.
It's
just Memphis that wants
Damian
Ball.
We'll see where Memphis stands when Hurd joins us at 1:25. So that's the show today. Looking forward to it. So last night, Memphis, it was delicate there for a minute.
Man, I looked at you. You looked like you were covering some mess.
Apparently, I was on television.
Yeah, and I think other people noticed it as well. Like, your body language, man, it looked sort of like, you know, Mark when he's not engaged.
Well, first of all,
you were down on this team in the first half. Your body language said so.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was going to be covering a blowout.
You sound like a Penny at the end of the game.
I was disappointed in the seniors.
Okay.
I was disappointed in the seniors. You know, they are supposed to, you know, be the ones who show the way.
And we had
it's done.
We had all seniors out there. Why?
That's correct. Because there was a lineup change. Penny said after the game that Antoine, and we'll let you hear from Penny in just a minute, but Antoine Jones and Tyler Harris, in practices after, this is according to Penny, in practices after the Houston loss, just weren't bringing it. They were complacent. They were lax.
Guys that know they're going to get time, so they weren't necessarily going, you know, kind of starting to go through the motions.
No doubt.
Going through the motions. He felt like he needed to shake that up.
And so we know Penny Hardaway is not afraid to do that. He's not afraid to change the lineup.
We have seen that.
And he did it again. He started all five seniors, Rainier, Jeremiah, Kevin, Mike Parks, and Kareem Bruton.
Yes.
All five seniors started last night, and they got out to a terrible start. I mean,
it was 33-18.
That was the biggest lead. It was 33-18, I think, with 8 minutes left in the first half. And listen, we know what the East Carolina game can represent. I mean,
talked about that yesterday.
For Josh Pastner.
It has ruined some coaches.
It was the effective end, right?
Yeah.
For Tubby, it was the effective end.
Yeah.
And if a loss last night, obviously Penny Hardaway is as safe can be. But it would have ended, I think, for at least a little bit, the interest, like the invested interest in this particular team.
Yeah.
It
affects it.
But
it brings it down.
It would definitely lessen it.
You're watching the games differently because you think you have no hope of making the tournament at that point.
That's the point. It's a different level of hope, right?
Yeah.
The hope changes to, the only chance this team has at going to the NCAA tournament is winning its conference tournament, which is here. So you then begin to focus more on the end. Maybe you don't take so much, you know, maybe you're not watching as closely at that point. Yes, and I would think enthusiasm wanes to a bit, but to end it, no. To end it, no, but it would certainly have an adverse effect, John, no question. You lose that one.
You know, luckily, Memphis does get the win last night. They pull it out there in the end. But, of course, it took heroics from the freshman. That's the exact freshman who Penny Hardaway benched to try to teach a lesson were the saviors in this game. Antoine Jones had a stretch there where he was literally doing everything on both ends of the floor. Mm-hmm. He scored 8 straight, I believe it was. He had an offensive rebound. He drew a foul. He had a block. He got the ball back via a tie-up on the defensive end.
Sort of changed the game right there with his own effort. I thought he really at least changed the momentum in the game.
And I think that is just the perfect illustration of this season. And because, you know, while the seniors, you know, you're trying to teach a lesson, right? You're trying to teach a lesson and you're trying to tell the freshmen how it's done. You know, it all still boils down, like, not just for this year, but for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Penny's success is going to be determined by Alex Lomax, by Antoine Jones, by, you know, and of course, James Wiseman when he gets here. But this core of guys are going to ultimately, I mean, because we're talking about the next 3 years here.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years from now, we will have a good idea of who Penny Hardaway is and how he stacks up.
Exactly what you said. It's what Penny Hardaway said at the game. This 2018 class, this freshman class, represents the foundation for Penny. And so when you see Antoine and Tyler, sort of who were in starting roles, obviously, and getting the minutes, and knowing they would despite mistakes, right? Because they know, well, we're potential game changers for Penny, right? We're explosive for Penny, so we know we're going to be in there. For them to sort of run through that, Penny to recognize it, right, and then to pull them. For me, we've talked about this all season long. Kind of get me sidetracked here. Penny's had a – we've said he's pushed the right buttons, right?
Yep.
When there's been a loss, he's made an adjustment, that kind of thing. But when it comes to these freshmen, we'll go back to that, this is the foundation. These are the guys that have to be right.
Yep.
And so when that effort's down in practice, I got to get it back. I got to nip it in the bud right now. These are the guys that I want you seniors, I want you guys to go to, you heard him say it, I want you guys to go to the NCAA tournament, NIT, whatever it is.
Yep.
I want y'all to experience that. But let's just be real. I'm more concerned with making sure these guys get what I want from them, right? And so again, we say he's pushing the right buttons. For me, just like when he pulled Alex Lomax at the time, and that we saw that sort of help Antoine and sort of help Alex get back to what he... Pulling these freshmen that thought, okay, well, I'm going to be in there just because I'm one of your most explosive guys. That's what you want from your college coach.
Yep.
And so to see this happening in his first year, when we all sort of, we had some doubts, hey, is he going to be able to pull Alex Lomax because of the relationship?
No doubt.
These are good signs.
I agree with that.
I would say that. These are good signs.
Now, in the postgame press conference, I thought, you know, listen, we know Penny Hardaway is not afraid to hold back, as evidenced by the, you know, the Rick Barnes stuff. So we know. You know, we know he can get in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say he kind of went in on the seniors. I would say he kind of went on the seniors yesterday.
There's no kind of. He definitely
called them to the mat. He called the seniors to the mat yesterday. So we've got some audio for you. This is what Penny Hardaway, this is how he opened his press conference yesterday.
Took the two freshmen out of the starting lineup for two seniors. Because the freshmen were kind of being more laxed and wasn't working hard and was having to be pushed all day in practice. And I said to both of them, until you show me that you really want this, then you guys got to come out of the lineup. You can't come to practice, you know, half-assed and going through the motions, and we're trying to get better. And how you practice is how you play. And they took the challenge because it happened a couple of days ago and started working harder and then came into the game and were a big part of winning this game. But I can say that I'm really disappointed in the seniors in starting this game and falling from behind early.
So obviously, that set the tone for the entire press conference. Was this is why I took out the freshmen, but you know, because I was hoping the seniors would answer the bell. I was hoping that by doing this, they were the ones who would show, all right, we got to come out, we got to be locked in from the tip, we got to be locked in from the jump, because we're not talented enough. To take off plays.
Right.
We got to be invested every single play. And they weren't. And I don't know if they just expected East Carolina to lay down.
It looks like that's exactly what they expected.
I
mean, you look at the offensive rebounding numbers, and it tells you everything you need to know about where the effort level was for Memphis, and particularly early on, because that's where they're getting everything inside. And again, for the second, you know, straight game, you know, the opposition has a ton more field goal attempts than you, and it's because of the work on the offensive rebound. 19-6 was the number. And again, this is an ECU team that, yes, it knocked off Cincinnati, but it lost by an almost 30 at SMU. It's not a good squad.
Right.
And they're coming in and outworking you.
Yep.
They're pushing your seniors around to the point that I talked about that with Jeff. One of them, not sure which one, literally flexing. Flexing the muscles in front of the bench.
Dude, there was a timeout.
Penny was embarrassed, and there's no question he felt like the team should have been at that point, and I think that's part of the, you know, that brings the competitor out of Penny. Your guys not, you know, you got, I put you guys out there, like, I trust y'all to go out there and get us off to a good start, and that's the way, you know, you respond.
Yeah.
I think they were embarrassed. There was a timeout.
I didn't tweet it because, you know, I just didn't want to be that guy. But there was a timeout where East Carolina's up. I don't know if they were up double digits, I'm pretty sure, because Memphis called the timeout. And as East Carolina's coming back to their bench, one of the guys on the bench gets up, he's in warm-ups, and is, like, flexing and saying, they MFing suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is how confident East Carolina was.
You heard it in the availability this week that Penny sort of say, hey, the book's kind of out on us. Teams know that they can come inside, right, and go for, look at the numbers, go, you know, kill us on the boards. They know if they're physical with us and push us around, it will work. And I think that goes to sort of that book on them, John, that they're not a physical squad. And folks see it when they watch them on film. And so if you go in there and what we used to say was go in there and push them first, right? Punk them out. Push them first. Be the first ones that you can get Memphis to. You put them on its heels that way. Mm-hmm. And Penny knows it. He sees it. And he wants his, you know, you tell, you, how many speeches can you give your team to where, but before they respond? Well, at some point when they're not responding to it, you realize, you know what, we're just not that squad, right, that's going to push back to start, that's going to hit with the first punch. They haven't done it all season long. It's frustrating him, and that's why you kept hearing him say last night, it is what it is.
Yeah, let's go back to that press conference, because you're exactly right, and it'll come through.
It's hard to answer that because I'm so competitive. I have to really think about that because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But at the end of the day, I went with a group of kids that started pretty much every game last year. And we put the team in their hands because we felt like we had it in good hands. And for five seniors to come out and not start with any energy after understanding not making the NCAA tournament last year, not making the NIT, I mean, it speaks volumes.
That was, when he said that, that was like a whoa moment, like just being in that room. Because that's just, you do not hear coaches say things like that.
And he had how long was it before he came into the media room?
I would say it was probably about 25, 30
you
minutes.
You were texting me about it. It was a long wait, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was definitely not like, I mean, Josh is coming there, you know, 5 minutes later.
Right.
You know, and the guy is absolutely, he is insanely disappointed. He is insanely disappointed. And I said this earlier this week. We talked about it. For the first time in his coaching career, he is at a loss with what is available to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't do anything to change it right now.
Yeah.
It just.
This is a good point.
It's like you said, he said it twice. It is what it is. That's basically.
It's like he's hit a point.
I don't want to say he's throwing his hands up.
No.
But he's kind of throwing his hands up with it. He's like, you know what? I'm coaching. I'm teaching. I'm doing all these things.
It's pretty much, we're not going to be a physical squad.
Right.
Look, I can't rely on my seniors. I throw them out there, and obviously they know I'm trying to set the foundation with my freshmen.
Right.
It's what you wrote. It's sort of coming to that realization that some things aren't going to change no matter what you do.
Yep.
And that some things, as a coach, are going to be out of your control, particularly when, I mean, you got a half a team that's not your personnel. Not half a team. I mean, this is what happens the first
year. You
want
to play
coach.
A certain way?
Here's the difference. I want to go back to the point you made because it's right. Middle school, high school, he can overpower you with the play calls, right, with the talent level. Now you're, for the first time in your coaching career, like you said, things seem to not be working when you make those adjustments. Remember, and he said this in the availability, this is a guy who considered himself, in terms of a competitor, along the lines of a Michael Jordan and a Kobe Bryant, right? And so think about it. As a coach, it's going well. Through middle school and high school, everything's working. The adjustments you make, you got the talent. It's all working. Now, right, you tell folks things, hey, get tougher.
Yep.
They don't. And so all of a sudden, it's out of your control. That competitor comes back out again, and I think last night was that frustration again. This is Penny's first season going through this, and as much as we see these freshmen learning, you know, from game to game, we're seeing him. And you saw it last night. You literally saw it within the man and sort of come out of him. You know, tell that. I believe she's from WRVG from Channel 3, the woman that asked the question about that you just had. Sort of say, you know what, hold on, before I answer this. I'm such a competitor. let me restrain myself and not go overboard.
Let me not say F you, Tubby.
Exactly. And in that right there, you saw the growth moment. Right. You saw the growth moment. They're going to be, look, you can only, let's just be real. You can only throw, right? You can only put your kids out there publicly when you're a college coach. You can only put them out there. There's a line, right? You can't throw them under the bus. You hear fans say, well, don't throw your kids under the bus. There is a line. They're college kids. Yep. At some point, fans want to hear you say this is on you, right? So you can't do it over and over and over and over again. And we've heard Penny this season say, hey, this one's on me. I remember LSU particularly. This one is on me. But what he's going to learn, and you saw it last night, he already has, and he's figured it out, is I can't kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The competitor in me wants to kill him, just like I probably did in that locker room that y'all didn't hear. I want to tell the truth. I want to say, man, these guys are letting me down.
No doubt.
But I can't do that as a college coach. As much as we're watching these freshmen learn, we're watching Penny Hardaway learn as a Division I head coach. It was the right move yesterday.
Right.
Jeff and I talked about it was holding them accountable, but not crossing that running over them with a bus line that's there. He was frustrated.
You know what? If here's the interesting thing. If that exact same press conference that Penny had yesterday comes after a loss instead of a win,
might come out.
I think we're having a different conversation. You know, because if it comes after a loss, it does come off as you're blaming your players for the loss.
No, that's a good point.
You know, you're running over. You know, because Josh did that all the time. Remember,
and we as a fan base, as media. Remember, we pointed out those times.
No doubt. That's what I'm saying.
When Josh was doing that.
Now, you know? he did it after losses. And so I do think there are things that you can take out. Like, I think it actually is the right message after a win. After a loss, I would say you have to kind of keep that one in-house. Because
mm-hmm.
it does come off a certain way.
That's a good point.
But to his point about the seniors, though, Keeban had a double-double. It wasn't his greatest night, but again, 14-11 is hard to be too miffed about that. Kareem Bruton had 13 points. Rainier Thornton scored 1 point. Mike Parks had 4 points, 2 rebounds, did not play
at
all.
This style, just up and down, just doesn't suit him well.
And Jeremiah Martin, who, of course, was a preseason first team all AAC-er, had 10 points in 36 minutes. Now, I know he impacts the game in other ways, especially defensively, but, I mean, that's a conversation. Jeremiah does not look like the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't.
Well, you're right. He doesn't. He struggled at times this season. He made some decisions last night against the zone. He's throwing the ball and just throws it away. Hey, you're a senior. That said, let's keep it in perspective. Last year, it's all on him. Tubby
right.
Hank gives him the reins.
Right.
Right? And you and probably this preseason and leading up to it, we all believed he'd have the reins this year too.
Right.
He's the fourth-year guy.
Yep.
He's the guy that stayed through, and he's the guy that, to your point, you just said it, is the AAC first-teamer. We all thought he'd be the leader. And I think Jeremiah Martin probably thought he'd be the leader and sort of leading scorer, you know, the guy that sort of everything runs through. And you've seen that at times it's Tyler Harris. At times it's Antoine Jones. At a lot of times it's not Jeremiah Martin. And I think that's some of it, John. It's when do I take over and do this thing, right? Is this my team? How do I fit in? And so there's been some of that. Again, you're talking about a completely different style. Jeremiah was Tubby would ask him, isolation basketball. You're playing the 255th, slowest pace in the country for the most part. It's a half-court game. Jeremiah, go to the hole and get me a bucket.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they're up and down. You've got to make quick decisions. You've got two other point guards on the floor with you that can also be expected to distribute and make plays. And it's sort of get in where you fit in. And I think that's sort of Jeremiah Martin's season in a nutshell.
Yep.
In his defense, again, that game 72-70, he's the guy that gets the big layup for you. I think it makes it 74-70 there. So he makes some big plays. You remember the foul call, I think the flagrant one. It's him at the basket that gets that possession there helped Memphis a lot because they get the free throws, get the ball back. That's Jeremiah Martin again at the center. I expected more of those times, but I think the reason that hasn't happened is because we've just seen, because of what Penny's been able to bring in, they've got other players that are younger that, quite frankly, can take the game over.
You know what?
And we saw Antoine Jones do it last night.
And that's something that we have not really talked about. There is a potentially precarious dynamic with this team. On one end, it's a team of extremes, because on one end, you have seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like Jeremiah,
Rainier,
and
out of here,
Mike Parker.
Five of them.
And on the other, you have freshmen. There is no middle ground.
Not much, because you don't play Eno.
Right. No, like, yeah. Exactly. There's no sophomore that's contributing. I mean, Isaiah Maurice gets 5-6 minutes a game. I mean, he played a little bit more last night. But, like, my point is, there's no, like, smooth transition.
No question. Fundamentally, that's what they are.
And so I do think that sometimes is at odds. Like, Penny's trying to strike the balance between, okay, who gives me the best chance to win the way I want to play, mm-hmm. all while also keeping an eye towards the future.
Right.
And I think that's something that he touched on a little bit last night. Let's go back to Penny's press conference. Better.
We're not good enough defensively not to be communicating, and that's all we talk about all day and all night. And I had to tell my team, you know, at some point, it's going to be on the seniors. The coaches, you know, it's going to fall on deaf ears. It has to come from the seniors. The seniors have to want to do it first. Well, I think my message was clear, and the freshmen, it happened a couple of days ago, they've responded big time. In practice, the practices got more competitive. They got upset. It woke them up. So it did exactly what I wanted it to do, what I needed it to do. The seniors not showing up, that's shame on the seniors.
Yeah, so again, I mean, it's...
shame on the seniors.
Just, crystal that was the clear.
You made it clear.
Crystal clear.
They had not, the freshmen had not stepped up against Houston. Remember that game? It was all seniors in that game for the most part. Penny Hardaway thinks, okay, let me teach these freshmen a lesson. Again, Tyler and Antoine sort of not giving in to practice a couple days later after a game where you've said you guys have got to pick it up. Let me throw you guys out there. And they go out there and let you down. That was sort of the frustration. But again, the good thing for Memphis, the freshmen respond to the button pushing. They respond to being pulled out of the starting lineup.
Yep.
And you get a good game, again, from Tyler Harris and from Antoine Jones. It was good to see Tyler get the shot back, too.
Yep.
He had lost that the last few games. So to see him sort of get back into the flow, get confident again. Yep. You saw one where he pump faked a guy, takes his dribble right, knocks down the three, easy money. It was good to see him sort of get his confidence back.
No question about it. So
Antoine can change a game. Tyler can, too, with his shooting.
He can.
Antoine showed last night he can change it a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, I mean, and I just think the key with him is just, like, keeping him focused.
It is. It's a roller coaster.
Yeah. Just,
like, we're talking about, there's times where he's out of place on defense.
Yeah.
There's times where he looks like he's about to go off on the ref. We talked about that. The refs are expecting him to, you know, put the hands together, call timeout. The benches say, put, and Antoine's just saying it. Well, give it to me.
Right.
I'm saying timeout.
Right.
And he's getting frustrated. So it's...
There's
coaching Antoine Jones is hard, but there's a lot of good that can come out of that thing. You do it right, and we're seeing it. We see it on the floor with the plays.
Yep. I mean, that's a guy like who I'm just going to use an example like Josh could not handle.
Do you see why he's been to a lot of different places?
Oh,
probably
no
because
doubt.
A lot of coaches no have doubt. Said, you know what, this ain't worth it. Like, I'm not going to deal with all this.
Yep.
And Penny's going through it with him. But the good thing for Penny is he's pulling it out of him.
He is.
The guy's not sitting on the end. And that was part of, I'm telling you right now, I think, John, you were at a point when you after Tennessee where you pull Alex Lomax, put him in there, that was because, again, this is a guy that's gone from place to place to place. He starts feeling he's not a part of it.
Yep.
He starts feeling picked on or criticized too much
on
the other guys, and I'm not playing. He'll roll on. And so Penny's got this out of him. I think that's been fun to watch. That's a heck of a coaching job, that sort of individual one-on-one with
him. I agree.
So far, Penny's winning.
Interesting night down at FedEx Forum. Was a win. Important note, it was a win.
Exactly.
78-72, so things could be worse. When we come back, Brevin Knight's going to join us. We'll talk to him about another team sort of at a crossroads. That's, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll get his thoughts on Marc Gasol, on the team, on Chandler Parsons. That's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys, a partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
An unreliable network can cost you money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast. And we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction knocks out the power, you can still upload that presentation and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 130-119. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra. Subject to change. Connection from backup limited up to 6 hours. Requires Comcast Business Internet. Offer price requires eco bill pay for this billing and auto pay through Comcast Business My Account.
Never saw it as a problem when I was younger. 2 cigarettes, 3 cigarettes. It wasn't a habit. My mom, she was always like, you need to get rid of them. Gave the Juul a real chance and found out I liked it. Found out it really works. The switch was easy. It was a no-brainer, really. This came from her, really.
Patrick made the switch December 2016. Make the switch at JUUL.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
Get a $50 credit to give your first job posting premium placement at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, quality standards, and usage limits apply. Additional terms online.
It's funny how things can multiply. Like cold weather. One minute, a few snowflakes fall. The next, you need a snowblower just to find your feet. Or tardiness.
We're working.
Run 2 minutes late in the morning and you're a half hour late to work.
Come on.
But good things come from multiplying too. Like the new Multiplier Instant Games, which give you a chance to multiply your winnings. So go ahead, enjoy the good kind of multiplying today with the new Multiplier Instant Games. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Fun. I smell the newest Jumbo One with a chance at a $4 million top prize. It's so big, you can play both sides.
Jumbo Bucks 300X. Good news, you don't need magic beans to meet this giant. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, giant-sized fun. Please play responsibly.
Guest appear on the Sportsbook at First Jackpot Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Mr. Keep It Real. He is Brevin Knight, television analyst for the Memphis Grizzlies, and he joins us now. Mr. Keep It Real, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Whenever you can see the sun, play a little golf, life is good.
Perspective.
Did you need that win? Did you need that win the other night as much as that team did?
Yes, I think it was for all of us that are invested in this team.
Yes, sir.
As the players are, and I tell everybody, I think I am as competitive as you can be without being able to make a difference on the floor. So it was much needed, I think, by everyone around, especially with all the outside boards.
You know, you've been in the league. You've played on several, you know, on several professional teams. You know how long and how much of a grind an 82-game season is. So what the Grizzlies are going through right now, you know, we know about the dust-up in the locker room. We know about, you know, the Chandler Parsons situation, which we will get to. But how common is it? I mean, is this all just in terms of the stretch? And then, of course, maybe it bleeds over onto the court. But how common is what's happening with the Grizzlies? How common is it just over the course of an NBA season?
Adversity is common for every team. It is how you deal with adversity is what separates the good teams from the teams that struggle. That's just the reality of the game. You're going to have instances where guys just get tired of looking at one another. And you have your little run-ins. That's part of the game. But it's once the game is to be played, Can you put everything aside and focus on the task at hand?
Yep.
And I think that that was the struggle that this team was having. It was trying to deal with everything outside and still play. They weren't cutting off the outside and just making it basketball. And hopefully, you know, with the performance that they put forth with the Spurs, that's something that they can carry over to the next couple of basketball games. The one thing I say that's good is at least you're playing against teams that are playing well.
Right.
So you don't have a moment to worry about yourself or feel sorry about anything because the next team is coming in.
Brevin, just to go back to a couple weeks ago, obviously the news got out about the fracas in the locker room between Garrett Temple and Omer Caspi. As a former player, was that disappointing to you, just how quickly, you know, because the locker room is sort of considered, you know, it's supposed to be sacred. Things don't leave the locker room. Was it disappointing to you as a former player that, you know, the news of that got out and as quickly as it did?
That was the most disappointing part. The altercation, I could care. I don't bother me. That's fine. I mean, two people are there caring about what's going on. You just got a little bit frustrated. It boiled over to whatever level it did. But as I said, when you just think about it, if I'm with you every day for 6 months, eventually you start to wear on one another and you're in a competitive atmosphere. It's not just going and sitting on a computer, we working. No, this is... There's going to be banging. There's going to be physical play. So that didn't bother me. But, yes, the way that it got out is very disturbing. The way that all of these little leaks continue to happen with this team is very disturbing because it starts to make you, as a player, a coach, start to second guess, what do I say while I'm in here? Because if I do say it, is it going to be the next thing that is on Twitter? So, that's something that they have to figure out and get under control because people don't like snitches.
Right.
It's something that in regular life and in basketball, it just does not go over well. And you don't ever want to be labeled as one of those people because when they find out, then that's when you really have issues.
It kills you in the locker room, right, Brevin? Nobody can trust you, right?
Exactly. And if you're going to get out of losing streak, then that's where that level of trust has to come in. And if you don't have that trust, now that's where it spills over or becomes a prolonged situation.
Now that's real right there. Did you see anything different schematically against the Spurs, Brevin, or was that mostly just increased effort, increased commitment, and more want to on both ends?
I just saw an increased effort from them in the entire game. As I've been saying it the whole time, I just saw an engaged Marcus Smart. It doesn't go any further than that.
It's just the truth.
It's the truth and reality that our team is predicated on him playing well. We can have Mike Conley have a bad game, but you know that he's still into it.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with Mark having the bad game just seems like you're not into it with us. It's not just that you're having a bad game. We need for you to take shots when those shots are there. We need for you to defend and be that high-level defender that you are. And we need the positive energy from you every game. If they get that from him, then everybody else is able to fit into their role, into their space, and do their job. And I think that was the main difference. I mean, you go back and look at November numbers that he had and what from December numbers up until the last game, it's a direct correlation between his play and his team. And when you are a person that possesses that talent, that's just a responsibility that you have to shoulder. That's what our game is about. And so hopefully we're able to see that level. And I'm not talking about the 26 or 14 every night.
Yes, sir.
The level of engagement that we saw from him and that level of engagement from everybody. The guys off of the bench, they were into it. I thought the time off of Shelvin Mack to just get a moment to sit back and watch and evaluate, but then also look like he had more bounce in his legs. I think all of that combined would enable them to get the victory against San Antonio.
Brevin, you tell me, you've been a rookie. How important is it for a guy like let's keep him on like Marc Gasol to set the example? And when it comes to engagement, things like you said, for a player like a Jaren Jackson, or just for any rookie that you've got coming in, you were a rookie. I mean, you look to leaders, right? I mean, to vets, right? To sort of lead the way.
Right.
We talk about it all the time as us guys that never play the game and say, oh, that's important. But you tell me, as a guy that played it, isn't that important to have for your young group? How important is it to a franchise?
Well, it means very important to the franchise. I would like to think that if you're a player of the caliber of a Jaren Jackson Jr., that it doesn't matter what goes on with somebody else because you're going to do what you do.
I got you.
Now, you will want the example to be set in one way that this is how things are done. A lot of times it's kind of this is how things are done with this team. But you as a person, you get it done how you get it done on a regular basis, mm-hmm. no matter what the situation is. Now, what they needed from the veteran guys is to empower him to feel like you can go out and be aggressive to take shots. We want you to post up hard, and when you get the ball, make a move. If you're trailing the three and you're open, you feel empowered enough that taking those shots are fine with us as veteran guys.
Yeah.
I think that more than anything, and that's what Sean Kemp did for us. We had five rookies because it's Julian Zelgauskas didn't play his rookie year, and that's what he did for us was, if it's your shot and your play, mm-hmm. then make the play. But I expect that every night. The effort should not wane if someone else is having a bad game.
We are, of course, talking to Brevin Knight, television analyst for the Memphis Grizzlies. We call him Mr. Keep It Real here on the Jason and John Show. And then I got to ask you, Brevin, obviously the news is Chandler Parsons is away from the team rehabbing in L.A. What have you made of that whole situation? I know both sides feel like they are right in this situation. What's your analysis of the situation?
It's a sad one because it's somebody that you thought would be a major fixture for this organization. You thought that you found a guy that could kind of fit the mold of what they needed, a shooter, playmaker at that 2-3 position, sometimes 4 position. And in terms of basketball, it didn't work out. The stuff away from it, I wish that it could have been handled in a fashion that everybody was able to walk away feeling positive about it, and it didn't have to turn into a distraction for the rest of the team. But I've always been a person that says that at the end of the day, we get paid to do a job. And if you are able to do it, then you would expect to be out there. If for whatever reason they felt that you're not or whatever, then it could be communicated to a point where we don't have to have the subliminal messages on social media. We don't have to keep asking the question every day because what it does is it wears on everybody else. I'm just tired of talking about it. Until he's out here on this floor, don't even ask me another question about Chandler Parsons' situation. And for players, we have no control over when he plays and when he doesn't play. Only thing they can do is go out, practice every day, try to get better with the people that are playing. And you kind of leave it at that. So I think for me, the sad part was that it took so much of a narrative away from basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And guys had to keep answering the question that they had no control over.
You like what you see with Justin Holliday?
Yeah, I like Justin Holliday. The thing is, he came in, and we haven't been able right now to find him the ability to get the standstill corner three, mm-hmm. which is what he is built to be so good at. But to see that he's not just one-dimensional in terms of go stand in the corner and make a shot, and that will be your work. You know, we've seen him be able to come off screens, played in some pick and rolls. Finally, he had the ability to see a shot go in.
Yep.
Little post move in the mid post against a smaller player, knocked that shot down. So I think for me, it's very intriguing to see that it's more than just a standstill shooter. He's a guy that may be able to give you something off of the dribble. But defensively, it's nice to have a guy that you don't have to teach defense.
Yep.
He already understands how to play. He's not a young guy in this league. He's been around on enough teams to understand what it takes. Now, of course, scheme and terminology will be something that he picks up as he goes along. But I think he's a guy that's ready-made to play for this team.
BK, I was talking to Cedric Henderson, a guy you know obviously well, and he told me y'all talk still pretty frequently, having played together with the Cavs, and you know he's over there at Southwest Tennessee now in that first year as a college coach. He told me, we sat down and he talked to me about how Mike Fratello sort of opened his eyes in terms of becoming a man and a professional, and obviously you having played for him as well. Just wanted to know, do you hold Mike Fratello as dear? Do y'all have conversations about him? Like, what kind of coach, you know, when it came to a player, how was Mike Fratello to play for?
Mike Fratello, I put him in my top three greatest coaches that ever coached me. He taught us accountability.
Yep.
But he taught us the professional game in that if you are supposed to be the top guy, then when the popcorn is popping and the lights are on, that's what I expect from you every night. We knew that when Sean Kemp came to practice with his sweatpants on and his sweatshirt tucked into his sweatpants, he wasn't practicing that day.
Yeah.
But there's no problem with that with us because when it was time to play the game, you could pencil in 20 and 10. And for the rest of us, it was about making sure you did your job. He would yell and get on everybody. He would allow you to yell back at him. But as long as at the end of the day you did your job, he still gave you a kiss on the cheek and said, I'll see you tomorrow. That was the NBA in which I played. There wasn't so many feelings involved in the game. It was you had a job to do. Today's game is you got to deal with psychosis. I got to deal with psychology on how I get you to play every night. What's wrong today? Hey, man, we get paid a lot of money to go play basketball. Just go play basketball. Go do your job on a nightly basis. Some days it's going to be good. Some days it's going to be bad. But there has to be a level of consistency with what they can expect from you every night. That's what he taught us.
Yep. Sid's over there running that Fratello stuff, BK. He's over there winning.
Man, listen, he found a way. People did not like him. I know why. He had a lot of people he rubbed the wrong way. And that's because he was full of what he was going to say to you, whether you liked it or you didn't like it.
You knew where you stood.
I knew every day where he stood. Yeah. I take that every day.
No doubt. Brevin, you're the best,
you are
man.
The best,
we appreciate
man.
It, man.
Thank you,
get
brother.
Back on that course. We appreciate the time as always.
Man, thanks for having me. Y'all have a good one.
Yep. Thank you, brother.
He is Brevin Knight. Television analyst for the Memphis Grizzlies. Mr. Keep It Real here, we like to call him. All right, we'll come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You know it. New money, new year. We're the Money Trio. Coming up at High Noon, we are all for that cash. New money, new year. Get the code weekdays at the top of the hour from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Text that code to 72881. Data message rate supply national contest. And you could get paid a grand. New money in the new year. You know where the dollar's at the top of every hour weekdays. 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's the best time of the year. No, not the holidays. They've come and gone. But it's the time of year when O'Call has its semi-annual sale. When you can get the very best brands from the very best store and get savings of 30 to 50% and more. That means men's suits, sport coats, and pants, 30 to 50% off. That means men's dress shirts, ties, and sports shirts, 30 to 50% off. That means men's jeans, sweaters, and outerwear, 30 to 50% off. That means women's sportswear, designer clothes, and shoes, up to 50 to 70% off. I'm serious about this. People wait 6 months for this opportunity, and it's finally here again. You get the best clothes in the city for the most helpful people in the city, and you get incredible savings, too. O'Call is open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6, except on Thursdays when it's open from 10 until 7. So happy semi-annual sale and happy new year from everyone at O'Call, who will make sure you start off 2019 by always looking your best.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. One of the most common and life-altering injuries that we see after a car crash is a herniated disc. Often it causes a lifetime of care, injections, and surgeries. A life where the most simple enjoyments become painful struggles. But insurance companies often refuse to pay for these injuries. They say disc herniation is no big deal, but we know the truth. We know how life-altering a disc herniation can be. We've won millions of dollars for clients with disc herniation because we know how devastating these injuries really are. If you have a herniated disc after a car crash, call us. You can reach us by dialing Pound Law on your cell phone. That's #529. Pound Law, that's all. It's easy to remember and even easier to get in touch with us. If you're injured in a car crash or at work, call us. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com.
Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one engagement ring store. Why is that?
We know what needs to happen. Two things. Number one, she wants to show off the ring after she gets it to her family and friends, and she wants them to ooh and ah over it, and they will. The second thing that needs to happen is he needs to be able to get down on one knee confidently, pop open the box, and know she's going to say yes, and then she's going to be in love with the ring, and that happens also, so we've got you covered.
Makes sense, Howie.
Huge bridal sale going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free financing, 4 locations. See us online at RIJewelers.com.
If you thought attending college while holding down a job was out of the question, CBU's College of Adult Professional Studies can help you make it work. We offer flexible 8-week courses to fit your busy work schedule and budget. And CBU has options to count work experience toward your degree, which saves you money. Contact us today at 901-321-3291 or visit cbu.edu/CAPS. That's cbu.edu/CAPS or 901-321-3291. Work on your degree while you work.
So I went to Bounty the other day. You know, the farm-to-table restaurant on Broad. It was unforgettable. I had the fried oysters because I always have the fried oysters, which are seriously the best I've ever had. I had the lamb ribs, which are unbelievable, even in a town where ribs are usually associated with pork. I skipped the pork shank because you can't have everything, although it is fall-off-the-bone good. But I did have the Brussels sprouts and the eggplant lasagna and the key lime pie, which is one of the best, most underrated desserts in town. The point is this. Go to Bounty. Everything is sourced from local farmers. Everything is then prepared with extraordinary care. And then everything is served in a high-beamed restaurant, which is so open and beautiful, it makes you feel good about being in the place. Or just stop by the bar if you prefer. The cocktails are as well-crafted as the food. Bounty opens at 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can accommodate private parties from 12 all the way up to 200 guests. If you like farm-to-table excellence, Bounty is for you. It's located at 2519 Broad Avenue. Learn more online or just call them at 901-410-8131. That's 901-410-8131.
The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar on Highland is Memphis's hottest new spot for great plate lunches. Take a look at the menu and specials anytime at thebluffmemphis.com. Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Approaching lunchtime. It is lunchtime for some of us. Why don't you head over to 5699 Mount Moriah or 7199 Stage Road, and you can fix that. You can get yourself full. You'll get yourself full on some Billy Richmond chicken wings. They are the best wings in town. You guys should know it by now. He's got the best wings with the best premium flavors. Isn't that right, John?
Yeah, of course, they are at the FedEx Forum now. The Wing Guru is, and every time I go to a game, I have to stop by, though. I got to get there early because the lines are always so long. Why are the lines so long?
Yeah, man. They're the best.
I mean, they got all the premium sauces. They got honey suicide, spicy taco, garlic sriracha. Billy's always whipping up something in that kitchen. Something new, something different, something delicious.
They want it, want it, want it. Billy's been texting me about some possible opportunities in terms of expansion. You know, that's a good sign, right? That means the chicken's good. That means you keep coming back. Take our word for it if you haven't already. Go get you some Wing Guru. When you see Billy Richmond, the former Tiger basketball standout, you tell him that Jason and John sent you, please.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eastern FM, ESPN. Thanks to Brevin Knight for joining us, as always. I mean, it was interesting, you know, just to hear him, how disappointed he was. A lot of disappointment going around right now in Memphis sports, man. Just, you know, Penny disappointed in his seniors, and, you know, the Grizzlies disappointed that they're, you know, their in-house stuff keeps getting out of house.
No one likes to snitch, particularly when things are going poorly.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's when you got to circle the wagons and tighten things up. So when things are falling out, you know, you get a little upset about it. We've seen that from Chris Wise, from JB.
I mean, frustration
from Brevin.
Do you feel betrayed?
Yeah, well, thanks. So like we said, man, you can't trust the guy next to you. Are you the snitch?
That's a good point. Cause it's
thought
like
you were with. I thought we were one.
You know, you're supposed to be brothers, you know? And
so you're left there to point fingers and wonder about each other at a time when you need to be pulling together. And it works, you know, against each. It works against you.
And now you kind of wonder, like, all right, well, can I tell this person this for fear that, you know, Shams is going to get it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be public knowledge. And, you know, you ever been betrayed in your life by a friend?
Plenty.
Really?
Yeah.
Plenty. You've been stabbed in the back several. You have wounds.
Oh, yeah. Aren't we all? Don't we all have some scars from betrayal by people that we think are friends?
I don't think I've ever really been betrayed by a friend. Not egregiously.
I mean, you betray me like once a week.
Well, I tell
you not to tell somebody something.
That's a bit.
It's out.
That's a bit.
You're like a sieve. It just goes through like diarrhea. I tell you, tell the world.
That's a bit.
Yeah.
Have you ever really been betrayed? Have you been betrayed the way the Grizzlies were betrayed?
No. I don't think so. Not like that.
Bennett, how about you? Have you ever been betrayed before in your life?
Well, they're telling my inside secrets.
Bennett, you guess so.
Exposing my skeletons.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Somebody let you down? You don't have one, huh?
I mean, not really. Like, I mean, I'm sure maybe
good.
Cookie
consider yourself lucky and be grateful.
I was lucky that she did that. You're exactly right. I mean, I was lucky that she.
Yeah. See, most of us men are just dumb walking around. It's probably we have no idea. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know.
That betrayal may have happened already.
You might, but I don't have to worry about that.
Good luck.
I know. I'm comfortable.
I'm not going any further because I can tell that's a road you don't need to go down.
But yeah, so it's an interesting time for the Memphis Grizzlies right now. Now, earlier this week, we talked about the rat. We talked about identifying the rat and who it could be. We had a couple different candidates, right? Bennett egregiously, unfairly, I would say, unjustly.
Yeah.
Elicited and evoked the name of Yuta Watanabe.
I watched him the other night thinking about your, you know, your accusation. You know, you accusing him of doing this. And all I saw was a man happy to be here on the bench. All he does is support the team with enthusiasm.
I
felt terrible about what you said watching him the
other night. Bench celebration.
You saw it too. Like, he's all in. He's just happy to be here.
Yeah,
the last thing he's going to do is go run in his mouth. Somebody could cost him his spot.
I just thought he would benefit from the playing time, but he didn't get any playing time.
You were trying to be Mr. You're trying to be Columbo over there.
Yeah, because you could. Yeah.
I was just trying to think outside the box.
Because have you ever.
Clumsy detective work, Bennett.
Have you ever seen the movie The Departed?
No, I hear about it. Y'all tell me there's some music from it or something every week.
You've never seen The Departed?
Is that the one? It's got Matt Damon in it.
Everybody. Jack Nicholson. It's a Scorsese film.
Yeah. Up in Boston.
Martin Short, I believe.
Does it have my man DiCaprio in it?
Yeah,
I have seen it.
Okay.
Not Martin one Short. Sheen. Martin Sheen.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, not Martin
Short. Is not the same person.
Yeah,
really not even close.
Yeah, I apologize. Martin
Sheen. Not a funny comedian.
It's a great movie. But in the movie, you know what happens with the rat?
What?
They get thrown off the building.
Off the building. Okay, there's a big splat.
They die. Okay? And I'm not saying it's this serious.
Well, no. That's fine. Go on. But you're getting everything confused with the movie.
No, but that's what happens fundamentally with rats. I mean, whether it's the mob or whether it's
it's the gangster. Leo was the rat, right?
Yeah, but Martin Sheen's the one that got thrown off the building.
Was he not the rat?
No, dude. He was the police, the head of the commissioner or whatever.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, you know, your analogies, they just struggle.
That's not an analogy. I misremembered it. But anyway, it's still true. The rat dies.
Usually.
Like, Jack Nicholson's, like, trying to find the rat. You know, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And so it's not that serious with the Grizzlies. But clearly JB's on the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the hunt. And what I can tell you all is that I believe I have obtained explosive video evidence.
Oh, my Lord.
And I'm actually only half joking.
See, that's the problem. Is we can never tell when you're serious or not. And I think the problem is usually you're tripping. And I think our inclination is not to take you seriously right now.
Right.
Do you have explosive footage or not? And I'm asking you this, John, with the most journalistic integrity that I can muster. I need a straight answer out of you.
You know,
please, no more games.
Here's the problem.
Let's not play games.
Here's the problem. Confirmation bias is a real thing. And when you hunker down and you become obsessed with a case like I have with this, you know, you just want to make sure that you're not seeing what you want to see. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But I have video that I believe confirms my theory. And when we come back, we'll break it down.
Now this is going to be
Jason
good.
And John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com station. Home of Golic and Wingo, weekdays 6 till 9 a.m.
At AT&T, we believe that access to affordable home internet brings you incredible opportunities. You can enjoy the power to explore a digital world of possibilities and connect with family, friends, and the things that matter most. That's why there's access from AT&T. If a member of your household is a SNAP participant, you may qualify for home internet at a discounted rate of $10 a month. No commitment, no deposit, no installation fee. Plus, get an in-home Wi-Fi gateway at no extra cost. Call 1-855-220-5211 or visit att.com/aware to learn more.
SNAP refers to the Federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pricing excludes tax. Service will include a monthly data allowance depending on the type and speed of service you receive. If you exceed your monthly data plan allowance, you will be automatically charged $10 for each 50 gigabytes of data usage in excess of your data plan, even if less than 50 gigabytes is used. For details about data allowances, go to att.com/internet-usage. Wi-Fi enabled device required. Other restrictions apply.
Your next haircut now has a shortcut. Introducing the Sport Clips Haircuts app. That's right. Now the cut you want is just a tap away. Just download the app, check in at your neighborhood Sport Clips, and choose your GuySmart stylist, and you're done. We'll text you when your stylist is almost ready. Then head to Sport Clips for a championship haircut experience. It's home field advantage for your hair. No appointment needed. Just download the Sport Clips app and check in. And don't forget a beard trim. Sport Clips. You choose the cut. We cut the weight.
The Live Love Memphis Group is the official realtor of the Memphis Grizzlies. They've sold over 1,100 houses in 10 years.
And now she's sold mine, John. The website is livelovememphis.com. The phone number is 901-685-6000. The person I asked for is Jennifer Carstensen. She took care of me. She's going to take care of you, too.
At Simple Truth, we believe now.